Nature Project. My name is Daniel Varghese. On today's show, we take a look back at the amazing first season of Atlanta, which we first talked about 8-9 weeks ago when it came out.
Insane.
It's insane, right? It's
crazy town.
It is crazy town. Before we get to that, allow me to welcome our esteemed panel of critics back to the pod. It is the same crew that joined us for the first time. First, Mike Bergen, leisure editor of The Voice. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Daniel.
You're on a streak. You've been on the last three of these.
Yeah, I've been going. It's been great. Thank you for having me.
Next up, halftime leisure editor, Danielle Hewitt.
Hi. Apparently, I'm a critic now. It's great.
Yeah,
you are.
It's a step up.
You are critical of me often.
Yeah, well, not going to dispute that.
And finally, the Voice podcast editor, John Block.
Hi.
John without an H.
There's no H in my name.
It is really is a really Jonathan. Important fact.
He's
Jonathan.
Lying to all of
so there actually is an H in my name, but not in the John.
I keep you saving my phone with an H, just like to hope one day you'll see it.
And get like really upset. Or like if you share John's contact with someone, then like the next time they'll text him.
Oh, and then it'll just proliferate and everyone will have
everyone will think his name is spelled
wrong. Five steps ahead here.
Wow. All right, well, this is a super unrelated conversation about...
For another time,
but I want to get back to Atlanta, which... The first season of the show, honestly, has blown me away. I want to talk to... The question I want to start this discussion with is... I want to talk to you guys about how your impressions or ideas about the show have changed after... Because we all watched the first two episodes together and then watched the, you know, the next eight without talking to each other. So what did you think you were going to see in the first two episodes? And how have your expectations been subverted or, you know... I don't know. What is the word?
That was good.
Met by the show.
Oh, yes.
Like, subverted and met. So what did you expect? What did you see that you expected, and what did you see that you didn't?
I think I could start this one off. So I have a feeling, like, that I always have with FX shows and FXX. you know what I mean? Anyway, so I think these shows, I expected a lot more depressing kind of, like, his life is horrible, like... Based on the situation he seems to be in, I thought it was going to just drag out on, like, the absolute most miserable parts of his life. And which they very could have easily shown, because he's not living an easy life. And he's, like, homeless. I don't know if we should... Are we okay with spoiling things?
If you're listening like, to
if
our
you've
podcast,
listened,
you
yes,
used it or just don't care.
So, and then he ends, like, he ends the season on a weird content note of being in, like, sleeping in a storage container. Or, like, you know, a storage locker thing. And, yeah, so I really thought the show was going to just drag on, like, someone being miserable and jaded in being homeless while also kind of going through, like, a low-level defeatist attitude. But I think the progress of this show was interesting because it was so muted and, like, devoted to different themes and storylines, kind of like Master of None was. But had a definite development in the show that I thought was just going to be, like, substituted in with some kind of sad dragging on. So I think the upbeat tone of the show, that it stayed true to being a comedy, was really impressive to me. And all in all, I left, like, while laughing, and I never really, like, got, like, wallowed into, like, what was the sadness that very could have easily been this show.
Yeah, I think tonally I was very Donald Glover, like I said in the first one. Like, it's very tonally him. And I also, I feel like, I don't necessarily feel like it was, like, upbeat, but I don't necessarily feel like it was, like, sad. I feel like it was just, like, this is a life that we're watching.
Right.
Which I really enjoyed, because I feel like, especially with, like, black television, like, black characters and, like, black stories, it's not usually that. It's either, like, Empire, where it's, like, we're a bitch and this is dramatic, or, like, we're poor and this is sad.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it was, like, very, like, even-keeled, like, this is his life, these are his struggles, this is what he does on, like, a daily basis, which I really appreciated.
Is that not what you expected going into it?
I definitely expected to be slightly more, like, I don't know, serialized, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not... I mean, I didn't expect it to be super dramatic, and I don't know if I expected it to be super sad, but I think it's just different. And it's, like, in a surprising way that you don't really see in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I could have called that.
I think, like, the thematic orientation of episodes, as opposed to, like, thinking of, like, Louis or Wilfred, where it's kind of just, like, drawn out a theme, I see, like, every episode kind of has this mission-oriented in a way, and I think it kept it, I don't know, like, a little bit of... different vignettes that came together in a very nice way.
Mm-hmm. I think of it as more, mood-oriented as opposed to mission-oriented.
Yeah, that's fair.
Each episode was trying, well, I guess its mission was to convey an emotion, or convey a series of emotions.
I should say around one subject in conveying an emotion.
Right.
Yeah.
John, how did it change or meet your expectations?
I mean, so I think after the first two episodes, I think that set a good idea of what the show is going to be, kind of tonally, sort of like what you were talking about, Danielle, with like, oh, like this is just life. Like, I think even though kind of the first two episodes are more plot based, you definitely get a feel of like the things that are happening. It's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just being
me.
But I do think I definitely expected after the first two episodes, the season to be more plot based. Like, I think you kind of have that central episode, the central scene in the first episode of the shooting, and even though that's kind of, like, ambiguous as to what actually happens, you think, okay, like, this is something they're going to follow up on, and then they sort of do follow up on that in episode two, with the jail episode, and then it just kind of goes away. Like, there's a couple mentions of, like, a shooting later on in the season, but, like, it's like, what happened to that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I think you see so much of that, like, even just the more generally, like, the Paperboy, like, being a rapper and Earn managing Paperboy and, like, kind of trying to be successful. Like, that's there, but it's so under the surface of what's going on in the show. And I think that's not something that I expected.
That is, I totally agree. And that's my expectations watching the first two episodes, which were maybe not necessarily what I should have been expecting, because the first episode is very plot-driven. There is a big thing that happens at the very beginning, and then they spend the rest of the episode explaining how you get to that position, and you kind of figure that the rest of the season's going to do the same thing. The second episode doesn't do that at all. The second episode is very, like, mood-based, very issue-based. It's just, like, creating the sense of what being in prison was like for Earn, and then also Paperboy just being outside trying to figure out, like, how to deal with his newfound fame. And so I guess, like, from those two episodes alone, you kind of, like, if you take those as what, like, a representation of the season would be, you figure, like, okay, maybe half of this should be plot-driven and half of this should be mood. It turns out that I think the vast majority of the season is mood as opposed to plot, which is not necessarily what I expected, because I definitely expected it to be more plot-driven than even that, like, rationally I should have.
Yeah.
And just because, like, you don't see much that isn't very purely plot-driven out there anymore, especially, like, in what is considered good TV. Like, the biggest critical TV right now, example of critical TV that's, like, been prominent in the last year is, like, Game of Thrones, which is the most plot-driven of shows of all time.
Yeah.
Like, literally everything is plot. And this is totally different, and that's so interesting and so subversive and cool.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, like, there is a plot, like you were saying, John. Like, Earn starts the show super poor, with less than $100 in his bank account, and he's at the end of the season, he's literally looking at $200 bills.
Slightly less poor.
He's slightly less poor. So there's been a change. His relationship with Van has changed, sort of, maybe, kind of, but, like, there's some progress there. And Paperboy is more famous and getting more successful because he's, you know, been invited on tour. So there is plot. It's just so unimportant and so unrepresentative of what actually makes up the stuff of the show. That is not something I would have expected coming into it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I find most enjoyable about the show.
Yeah, I think why the whole, like, it more focused on mood surprised me was because of, like, the shooting in the first episode. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, he shot someone. Like, in most television shows, it would be like, well, we're gonna deal with this. He'll probably get arrested. He'll probably, like, have to, like, go, like, to a judge or something. Because he, like, legit shot someone. And then he's on the news, and then even in the middle of the season, like, he's, like, wanted for armed robbery, and, like, nothing comes of that.
Right.
Like, they're sitting in the diner, and they're like, oh, man, I'm wanted for armed robbery, and they're like, well.
He's like, man, I hate clothes.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Well, I see, I don't know, I think the first episode, in hindsight, is, like, a tried and true, like, pilot. Like, you
sure.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last thing, like, it leaves you on that, oh, God, what's gonna happen next kind of, like, tone that, like, drama would, even how, like, the drama tone of it. If you look at, like, any kind of drama plot, I think there was a very interesting episode of the show Supernatural where they attempted a spinoff, and, like, it ended with, like, a weird, like, call of, like, hello? Like, who is it? And just, like, who could that be? And then, like,
that's
I think
the worst.
Like, and, like,
what
and, like,
if they tried to
and,
spin off?
It was, they had, like, they wanted, like, a little separate little, like, the exact same thing with new characters. But, like, the point was,
that's not important.
It was an intro in that episode. It was horrible, but my point was that I think it showed me, at least, what a stereotypical pilot attempt was.
Okay.
In that, more the structure, and I'm not, like, saying bad or good, I think it was just too glaringly obvious, that's why it didn't take off, but I saw a lot of those elements in, not saying, like, against Atlanta, but I think,
episode.
Yeah, the supernatural yeah. episode, but saying Atlanta was, like, even the end, I'm saying, I could see someone trying to pitch a show based on that episode, as opposed to the divergence that came from the episodes after that.
Right. But thinking back on that episode, the stuff of the mood exploration and the other stuff of the plot is still there.
Yeah.
Like, there's, even for a pilot, the plot in that first episode of Atlanta isn't all that complicated or even that important.
It's
like,
not. But the other thing is, that, like, it's the first episode of an entire series.
Sure.
Like, you have to do some sort of setting up, some
yeah.
sort of, like,
you have to introduce
where
all the characters
are going to go.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's still a pilot, and, like, I don't know how you would do a pilot without giving it some sort of, like, direction to be
yeah.
like, this is what our show is about.
Sure.
Watch it. You know? Please.
I like the minimalist, like, kind of bare bones of introductions that come after that, though. Like, no one else really gets, most characters don't even get names, really, in after that. Like, when they introduce people, there's, like, you kind of leave you to figure out the rest. Even, like, talking about the last episode, the jacket.
Wait, what do you
I'm
mean?
Saying in, as opposed to, like, the first episode that depend a lot on introductions
mm-hmm.
and, like, a lot of exposition, I think the side characters kind of emerge after that, just kind of get these weird tangential, like, you just see, like,
yeah.
a weird action that they do, and
sure.
that's all you get of them.
Sure.
So I think life is kind of all foggy and distant in
like,
an interesting way.
Yeah, like, even, like, in the Juneteenth episode, like, they go to these people's house, and I don't really know, are they, did they say, like, what their relation with them was, unless
no.
I just wasn't, yeah, so it's like,
it was just, I think it was just, like, Van was friends with, like,
the
wife.
Yeah,
yeah
but it's, like, still,
how.
Like, they don't
yeah.
even, yeah, it's, like, they're
just,
like,
just someone who
going to this lady's
might
house
be able
that might give me an
out of.
Yeah, it's, like, very, like, this is, you know, like, who she is kind of unimportant,
right.
but it, she's, like, very central to the episode. Like, the husband has, like, a big part in the episode.
Right, right. Yeah, and what I think is interesting about all this is that, you know, it's very obvious that those details don't matter in
yeah.
the whole scale, this whole scheme of the show. Because what I think what's more important than, obviously, the plot, and which makes sense because there's so little plot, what is more important is the moods that they're trying to create, the, you know, I don't know, the positions on issues they're trying to put forward, or just, like, the reality that they're trying to create for you, and just the sense that they're trying to create. When Donald Glover's doing interviews for this show, he says he wants to create a show that when you watch it makes you feel, or makes you understand what it's like to feel black.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, it doesn't matter, like, in that aim, you don't have to talk about, like, specific things that happen to black people. That does come up. But you're just trying to get a sense of the overall emotion. So I'm interested to see what you guys think about how, or, like, what other kinds of themes, like, maybe, like, we can talk about race, definitely. I think we should talk about race. But what are the themes you think were the most pervasive over the rest of the episodes in the
yeah.
show, and what you guys noticed?
I think one of the biggest ones was, like, just, like, living in poverty, like,
mm-hmm.
being, like, not having a ton of money to, like, achieve things. Like, there's that one line, I think in the third episode or something, I forget, when Earn is with Darius and they're with the dog, and he's like, poor people don't save. Like, I don't,
yeah.
I can't, like, save. That's, like, not what I
right,
can,
right, right.
I'm unable to do that. And, like, it was such, like, a, like, I think of it, like, one of the, like, most powerful things, moments, because, like, I mean, you think about it, but, like, he's like, no, this is my reality. Like, you
yeah.
can't just do that. And he's kind of, like, it's, like, one of the only times they kind of, like, very plainly, like, state a, like, issue and,
yeah,
like,
sure.
thing they're trying to impart. But it's, like, it was, yeah, it's probably one of the most interesting and, like, pervasive things throughout the
mm-hmm.
season for me.
I mean, I think they do a lot of character development
mm-hmm.
without a lot of character development. Like, you like you kind of brought this up earlier, like, in a way, like, is Earn a different person at the end of the show
right.
than he is at the beginning? Like, you don't know a whole lot of his backstory. Like, you know he was at Princeton,
mm-hmm.
but you don't really know what happened, why he left.
Right.
You know he's, like, really poor, but you don't, like, know sort of what his other prospects were in
mm.
the first place. And, like, you kind of see him, like, he's, like, intelligent and kind of, like, sort of, in a way, like, separate from a lot of the things that, like, he's involved with in the show, but at the same time, like, in the last episode, like, he's just, like, getting blackout drunk at a strip club.
Right.
And so I think there's, like, a lot of interesting, like, character ambiguity that I think you don't see a lot of in TV, because it's a lot of times it's like, oh, this character is like this, and you can like just check a lot. You can check all these boxes that have been checked before, and like people know what kind of person that is. And I think Earn is a very likable character, but also one that's like not easy to put into boxes like TV characters.
What's your sense of the purpose of that? Like, what do you think? Why? Why does it? Why do they tell? Why do they devote 10 episodes of TV to telling a story about people without actually like telling us anything about the people, really?
Well, maybe I can weigh in on this a little bit. I think that's inherently more real than anything of like an accomplishment and like the joy of Daniel. But no, I think in terms of good storytelling, like life is a little uneventful at times, but things happen in some ways. I know that sounds a little jaded, but I think in terms of a good story, you're not like there is no like true hero and villain and like an accomplishment that's like, and then it ends, then you bounce back and another problem presents itself. I think that creates poor television, poor storytelling in general. And I think when I see what John's saying on that, and I think the interesting thing is how the ways he's different but also still the same. I loved the shot in the very last episode where he decides that he's not going to stay at her house anymore. And, like, he kind of shows, like, it shows, like, a strong kind of, like, strong choice in that it seems like he's kind of has his life more together. And then he's going towards a storage container. But he's still got his, like his backpack pulled up high and his, like, short shorts and, like, stuff like that. Which is, like, so Donald Glover that I also love that. Which, like, cracks me up. But I don't know. I think through the course of it, he's kind of accepted his place that he's not, like, a tangential, like, alien to the place he's in that has to, like kind of like make jokes about like how ridiculous of like, because I think in the first episode he's a little snarky in some ways and kind of rejects that he's part of this thing, but he's like, if you remember the episode The Club, also low-key my favorite episode, when he's just like, he's coming
we'll
definitely get there, but like he's coming in to demand his money and things like that, and he's trying and like he just can't because he's not like an aggressive person.
Throwing up a little bit.
But he's like, give me my money.
The part that stood out to
me. Episode's so weird.
The part that stood out to me, and John brought this up with like dancing in the strip club, I love that it was all shot through like an old Snapchat story because it felt a little bit more genuine, like you caught someone when they weren't looking in a way, and that like it kind of showed in a way you felt like you were looking at him as a character when he's not, quote unquote, like acting, like he's not right, he's not supposed to be the focus of the scene. You just see like those like in between moments, and I think that showed him like he's like dancing and like
you see him as a
like dancing in like the strip club and like having a great time. You're like, he also likes this life in some ways. I'm obviously not the poverty parts. I don't think anyone likes poverty, but I'm saying he's enjoying like, okay, I'm sorry. A lot of themes are hitting right now, but meaning that I think he's kind of embracing and being happy in the good parts of the situation he's in instead of just being like, I wish I could be at Princeton. This is all, I'm a little intellectually superior to this place.
I also loved that Snapchat part because I feel like when most television shows try to incorporate something like Snapchat
or like a new Instagram, form of
it looks like, hey guys, we know technology, look at it, but it, like it felt so like genuine to like the people,
right? Because like I've like, seen a Snapchat story that looks exactly like
It's like it, like they, that's clearly written by people who like use Snapchat and they're just like, this is like, I don't know, like most of the, when they're like, if someone's like on Instagram on a television show, they're like, I'm using Instagram because I'm a millennial. Okay.
Yeah.
Like shows when they try to create like a viral video.
Yeah.
New Girl, if you've ever seen like the episodes where they tried that, it's disgusting. It's it's like really just cringe and like, please stop. You're not connected to the world.
You don't have to do this.
Yeah. I'll take a Schmidt gif over a viral video of New Girl any day. Yeah. Well, in our first, after watching our first two episodes, I argued that the way this show treats important issues is really unique because it kind of, like we would experience them in real life, treats them as like isolated events that just become something that like define our thinking for a while. And I think I was a little wrong, especially like in the whole, like not wrong about those two episodes, but wrong in the whole scheme of the show. Because I don't think the show doesn't look at issues of race or poverty as like isolated things that you can just like kind of move past and keep going. Especially since there's not really a plot, you know, like you're not moving on to do something else. Like, you know, in the second episode, there's the whole incident with the mentally ill prisoner who gets beaten, and then Earn leaves the prison afterwards, and so then like there's something different happening, and so you know you're not focused on that anymore. But like in the later episodes, like, they really do kind of take the issues head on, but I still think they do it in a very different way than shows like Master of None do. Because they're way less, like, they're upfront to it, they're upfront about it in a way that is way more natural and way more realistic, which is one of the things we've been talking about. And I think that's something that's allowed by the lack of plot and, like, the lack of things that keep having to happen. It just means that there's so much more space for them to really engage with issues like they actually happen. And so, like, the whole time when in the episode, in the Juneteenth episode, when Earn is, like, just interacting with the guy who's just, the white guy who's just super into black culture, and I did that in quotation marks because, like, he just is, like,
he's like, you gotta go to Africa.
He's, like, so weirdly fascinated with an idea of blackness that isn't necessarily, like, held by every black person, that, you know, you kind of know, like, those people exist. And I don't know, and the point of the story is to, like, watch Earn and then all the other, like, black people in the show who have different versions of and expressions of blackness, like, deal with that.
Yeah.
Which, in, like, a normal way, which I think is, like, I think that's so interesting. And so
I love how they do that. I feel like people could, like, I feel like television could stand to, like, learn from that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I don't know, I feel like when... I feel like when television shows, like, do things like be like, this is an issue that we're going to tackle, like, and then it kind of just, like, heightens something to, like, a level where it's like, this is the only way you can think about this issue. But the way Atlanta does it, it's like, this is a thing that happened, and you can kind of have different perspectives on it because it's just kind of, like, not normalized, but just like, this is the event.
Gonna, like, keep going, like, after play. The show ends, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... Whenever you're kind of trying to tackle kind of the issues that a show like Atlanta tackles, there's always sort of a risk of it being too heavy-handed. Like, I think if you look at, like, a show like Black Mirror, like, you can definitely make that criticism of Black Mirror where sometimes it's just like, yep, you're hitting the nail on the head, like, way too obviously, I get it. And I think I've been tempted at times to feel that way about Atlanta, but I think that the way they mitigate it is just, like you guys were talking about it, like we've been talking about for a lot of this podcast, is just by incorporating it so well into just, like, life. Mm-hmm. And, like, so if you look at, like, the police shooting in the series finale, or the season finale, like, it's pretty textbook, like, you have some guy, like, running from police, and they shoot him, and then, like, his wife comes out, and, like, you can hear, like, a child crying in the background, and, like, it's horrible. And then, like, Earn is like, can you, like, check his jacket? I might have something in there. It's my jacket. And, like, it's, like, super obvious that, like, it's pointing out, like, something that's clearly wrong with society. And at the same time, it's, like, this is something that happens, and, like, you just go on with it.
And the characters have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And Earn is, and this is something that we've seen a couple of times in the show. Like, there's been an instance of, like, there was an instance of, like, a shooting at the very beginning of the show. In the episode with the club, there's the gunshots and then the invisible car running someone over. Like, you know, we deal with this stuff, and this stuff happens, and characters like Earn, characters like Paperboy, characters like Darius don't care. Well, and they can't care.
Yeah. I think, like, I know this is going to sound, like, a little abstract, and I think maybe you guys can weigh in on this as well. I don't think the show is, like, a lot of the things they choose are done for the benefit of the audience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think these themes, they're not, like, there's no sad music that cues in or anything like that. And there's not, I don't know, it's very cause and effect. Like, someone breaks the mirror off my car and, like, is being a dick and doesn't want to pay for it, so I threaten them with a gun and then I shoot them. Like, and it shows, like, I think that's the most, like, life oriented thing. And I don't want to talk so much about the first two episodes because there's another eight that we kind of came back to talk about. But even the thing in, like, the prison, like, people are laughing at, like, a guy who's kind of mentally ill and, like, spitting water around and things like that because that's people reacting. That's not considered, like, taboo or gauche and just, like, we shouldn't look at this. But it's very life and realistic, I guess. It's just living this way as opposed to here's how we see this awful thing and you should all feel this way because of it. And I'm kind of reiterating what you guys are saying now, but I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about those other eight episodes. So each of you pick your favorite episode from the series and we'll talk about each of them. Mike, you can start.
Okay.
Because you already kind of dropped yours.
I did. I think my favorite is to be fair, there's a lot of great TV in this series, but I think one that really cracked me up was The Club.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the dissatisfaction in it, and I don't know, just like the taking. I think it really wrapped it up nicely in like Paperboy, like taking charge.
Yeah,
in that they thought it was going to be like a sad, like I don't want to compare it to too many other comedies, but like things like Louis, where he's kind of like groan and walk away, and he's all like, man, it's like I hate the club. It's just like the club sucks, and you feel like he's going to end on a loss, and you're like, oh man, it's like I just like spent this whole time having miserable, and then I got screwed out of all my money, and then I'm gonna like walk home and be sad and like dwell on it. But these shows that these are stronger characters in that they don't obey like all of these like rules and like these traditions of just like, now I'm gonna go wallow and never go to the club again. It's like, no, I'm gonna go kick this guy's ass and get my money back.
Yeah.
And do it in a hysterical way, and it's really enjoyable. John, I see you.
There's a funny moment I noticed in the last episode. Mm-hmm. But so when Paperboy like beats up the club owner,
yeah,
and like gets his money, they steal like the cases,
yeah,
of Miller,
yeah,
Lite, and then in the finale, where they're at the Miller High Life, yes,
the
apologies,
champagne and beer.
Of course. Oh my God. But then in the finale, when Earn wakes up, and
yeah,
at like the post game,
yeah,
they have like the case,
yeah,
the case of the Miller.
Oh, that was a good. I didn't actually notice that. That's a great
that
detail.
Yeah.
But that episode was funny, and then just like how even like the invisible car thing,
yeah,
which is, I think, suspends reality. But I love like the guy who's just like, he's just like, you're slippery as fuck, man. And, just, like,
yeah, and then he literally opens and
there's
like a
wall.
Yeah,
there's
gonna
trap
say,
doors in the club. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's like one of like the most the show definitely has like surrealist elements,
oh,
to it, and
sure,
this is like probably the most next to like the Black Order tank, maybe. I don't know. It just like has the most, some of the most surrealist elements, like the invisible car, and then he just like stands on a wall and just like flips around.
Yeah.
And you're like,
even like,
where did
even
that come
the,
from?
Even the dramatic lighting of that episode, and especially those scenes where he's trying to follow the club owner,
yeah,
whose name I can't remember, yeah, but and he just like is walking through the crowd, and then there's all the lights, and then he just disappears. It's,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
The faces he makes shows that he's at least like being a character actor in that,
oh, yeah,
way, and like he know, like I'm,
oh,
glad,
yeah,
I'm glad of how,
yeah,
yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, let me pursue these girls, but there's also very real things that are happening. Like, it doesn't completely give into the absurd.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like the girl who's just like purely looking for Instagram followers.
Yeah,
and,
oh,
and
that is,
there was
I
such a fake out because you're like, oh wow, he like actually like,
yeah,
made a connection with, good for him. And it was like, nope, just kidding.
All like the so close things,
yeah,
and like the throw you off in like what you think is gonna happen, that he's gonna wallow home sad, that he finds this rekindled romance.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, I love that it just turned like a traditional,
oh yeah,
like a like I guess it was kind of like a three act little,
yeah,
like little short episode, and you see like each one just get flipped on its head so hard,
yeah,
but you love it in the same process, and so I'm really impressed with that just as a single episode
of
TV.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, it's so good. And yeah, and that scene where he Paperboy confronts the owner is so satisfying.
Oh yeah,
just like, oh, and then he like does the backhand, oh my
with
god,
money, just like,
and then he does it with the money. I don't find like physical violence that funny most of the time, but like, oh my god,
yeah,
that was just the way it was shot and the way that it was choreographed was perfect. It was so funny.
It was like justice served,
yeah,
and like the way that you're like, oh, I'm not gonna go beat someone up, like that's crazy. You're like, no, it's like I'm gonna beat this guy up and get what's mine. And like, it just really reminds you of like the world they're in too, that they're willing,
yeah,
to like shoot someone for breaking off your car mirror.
Yeah.
So it stays,
yeah,
true to that plot in that way, and I really like that.
Yeah. My favorite line of the episode was when the club owner, after getting hit in the face, goes like, oh, he's gonna be a star. And they're just like, oh yeah. And then the girl's like sitting there, and he's like, what are you doing? Call the cops. Like, it is just perfect. Like,
yeah,
so funny. Yeah. Anyway, Danielle, what was your favorite episode?
All right, my favorite episode was the Juneteenth episode.
All right, we're just going 8 to 9.
We are, but it's like I found it to be like one of the most relatable episodes of television for me. Just
why
like,
is that?
I grew up in Atlanta, and that's kind of, it's like not exactly like not that far deep into that, but that's kind of the world of Atlanta I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, one, when they were driving and Vanessa Van goes, close the window of my hair. I was like, thank you. Yes, someone gets it. But also, like, they just, like, mentioned all of these things that I was like, oh my god, I remember that. Like, when he was like, oh, remember, I feel like I saw you at, like, that Cherokee Country Club. I was like, holy shit, I know where that is. And then when they were like, oh yeah, we need people to do Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill's, like, this youth organization in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, I knew people who were a part of it. And, like, yeah, and it was, like, very, like, weird for me. It was so, like, weirdly relatable for me,
uh-huh,
that I just, like, really loved it. And it was just, like, hilarious. Like, the husband he was awful, but he was so funny. Mm-hmm. Just trying to like relate so hard to Earn, and you're just like, God.
Oh, and his slam poetry was so bad. Like,
but it was so entertaining.
Jim Crow is not a man.
Oh, God.
So it's bad.
Like, this would be like, he's so like, he's well, you could say he's well-intentioned.
Right.
Like, he's like, that picture perfectly represents, I forget what he said, something about like Malcolm X or something like
yeah,
that. Malcolm X quote, and it's like this like white dude with like a bird or something.
It's like Griffin or like something.
Yes. Yeah, and then when he's like, oh, you haven't been to Africa? You have to go, like clearly not noticing that like Earn doesn't have the money to go
right.
or the resources. Yeah. And he's like, oh, where are you from? You should figure that out. And he's like, I can't. Like, I
this
cannot.
This crazy thing called slavery
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like,
at least I admire that they had the character at least back off in the end
yeah.
and not be, like, the dick that everyone thought he was going to be, like, throughout the whole thing that he
yeah.
was. Least, he was, like, trying his best to be respectful in a way, but still just, like,
It's like, I mean, I feel like I all know these people who
yeah.
are just, like, very well-intentioned, but, like, you don't.
Yeah. It's like,
you got it.
You're overstepping your
yeah.
boundaries.
Yeah,
there's
like,
just, like, a thing.
Like, I get what you're
there's a line.
Going with this, but, like,
yeah. I would like to, maybe we talk about the dramatic undertone of that episode a little bit, though, in terms of, like, Van's development and his
yeah.
relationship with Earn.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of that, I thought that was a pretty. I think in terms of like the more plot oriented things, at least where you could pick it out, even more or less obvious. But I'm thinking
yeah.
at least in that development, I saw that a lot.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely it's right off the heels of her getting fired.
Right,
and so I feel like earlier on in the season, she kind of thought she was like not like better than Earn, but definitely like better than him. Not like
oh yeah.
Yeah, she was like I'm doing well for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher.
And she's like actually taking care of the kid.
Yeah. So like in some aspects she is better than
right.
him. But like I don't know, she gets fired and she gets kind of taken down a notch and then he has this whole speech about how great she is and she's like, "Oh."
Yeah.
Like it complicates the relationship on a deeper level,
yeah.
I feel, and I really like that.
Yeah. It's a great episode. John, what's your favorite?
So, my favorite is probably also the club episode. But for the purposes of talking about something else, my second favorite episode was probably the BAN episode.
Such a good episode.
Where they have Paperboy on a public access version of BET. apparently, it's, I think.
The Montague.
It's definitely BET.
I watched all the...
No,
watched
this. I mean, public access, I mean. I'm
yeah.
not really sure exactly what's up with that. Like, is it just Atlanta or a national thing? I don't know.
I watched
but
this
it's fake
last,
BET.
Yeah, I watched this last night, and the Montague theme song is still stuck in my head.
That's
still in there.
My favorite is I had it like on a streaming service where there were actual commercials,
yeah.
and it kept seeming like it was cutting to commercial, and then it was just like a weird, like racially targeted commercial.
That's what I loved about that episode. Like
yeah.
those commercials, like even had like to the T the voiceover guy that they use for BET, because
right.
like all the commercials on BET are the black voiceover guy,
oh, yeah.
and it's like they're all very like black commercials. They're like so soulful and like eat the whatever, and you're like oh god.
Yeah. What else did you like about the episode, John?
I liked kind of how they sort of made a lot of kind of, like, liberal, like, social liberal arguments more nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah,
I think
sure.
a big part of the episode was kind of, so, like, Montague and then, like, the woman he had on as a guest were sort of, like, attacking Paperboy over, I think, like, transphobic comments he
mm-hmm.
had made. And, like, through the course of the episode, you kind of, like, get the idea of, like, not everyone sees, like, these issues, like, the same way that, like, elite, like, liberal people do.
Right.
And, like, that, like, isn't to say, like, oh, it's an excuse to be, like, transphobic, but, like, that's not, like, a important issue in a lot of communities, and, like, you can kind of have points of view, like, that are, like, both not transphobic, but also not, like, oh, like, we need to, like, care about this so much, and, like,
right.
this is, like, the most important thing, we need to, like, protect these people's rights, which are obviously important. It just kind of brought a level of nuance that I think a lot of people don't realize when they're like, everyone who doesn't think that we need to do everything right now for transphobic people and it's the most important, or for transgender people and it's the most important thing, like, is
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
Which, like, obviously we need to do things for transgender people and it's important to protect their rights. And, like, the nuance was, I think, an important, like, counterpoint to that.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite line, John, just out of curiosity? Because that was like, probably one of the most quotable episodes of this ridiculous thing.
Oh, I don't know.
the prices on the can, though.
The prices on the can, though.
My phone was just like the transracial guy, and he's like, oh, hey, he did it. Yeah. I called the cops. Like,
at the end of the episode, too, when he's like, yeah, like, I don't think people should be allowed to be married.
And you're just like, what?
Just, like, people are rolling over laughing.
No, that episode is really.
And I really just like the reference to Rachel Dolezal and, like, she can be transracial, but, like, a black man cannot. Like, I don't know. I love that.
Yeah. It's a great, such a good episode.
The Hennessy commercial. Was it Hennessy or was it Grand Marnier?
It was neither of those things. It seemed like
he had the masquerade ball and it's kind of like dancing around.
It's like malt liquor.
You're drinking it wrong. It's like, was the tagline or something. Yeah.
Or like the Cookie Crisp one.
That went like, that went. Like, yeah. 0 to 100. Like,
real quick.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I also think, like, that was definitely the funniest episode of the season. And, like, it was weird. I feel like Atlanta was kind of billed as a comedy. And, like, my answer to, like, is Atlanta a comedy would be, like, no with a question mark.
Wait, because
it's unclear.
I laugh every episode.
Right. It has jokes in it. But, like, the tone isn't just, it's not a funny show tonally.
Yeah.
Like, it's a show that uses jokes to save serious things or to, like, you know, make you pay attention. I it's not a comedy, really. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's like yes with a question mark.
Yeah. Is it a I guess that's the best.
Or no with a question mark.
Or no with a question mark.
Yes
depending
or no.
Depending on if you're an optimist or a pessimist.
It's just
new glass
is it a comedy?
Empty.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Perfect show for apathy, for millennial apathy.
Yep.
There's a hot take. My favorite episode is, honestly, it was also probably the BAN episode, but just to be contrarian and for diversity, I'll say that it was the Nobody Beats the Biebs episode, and not just because the idea of, like, just the fact that they made Justin Bieber African American, we're just, like, dealing with that, and then
Justin Bieber,
right? Like, it's not just that, and it's not just that, like, we are forced to kind of, like, decide whether we could think of Justin Bieber in the same way if he was black. And it's not just because, like, the episode is really funny. The episode is hysterical.
Yeah.
It's a really funny episode that has all sorts of weird moments, like where Paperboy is chasing down Bieber, like, down the field and, like, just doing crazy things and playing basketball. And the B plot of, like, Earn getting mistaken for this random other black dude named Alonzo and then, like, taken in by this woman and then, like, having all of that just get, like, really intense. Like, what is she? Oh, yeah, she's like, I'm gonna make you homeless. Like,
I'm gonna make sure you die homeless.
She's like, oh, like, my God. Like, just watching that, I found that, like, extremely entertaining. And I was so engrossed by that episode. Like, every little aspect about it I found so fascinating and interesting and, like, look, and I don't know, pliable. Because at the end, also, like, the part of the A-plot where Paperboy was talking to the reporter, and then at the end he's like, well, you could talk to me, like, at my side of the story. And she's like, look, no one cares about the role that you're playing in this, like, because your role is this, and we know what that role is, and so you need to just, like, do your best to play it. That's the only way you're going to be allowed to be part of this. And I thought that was so interesting and such a cool statement on, like, what we expect out of our artists and what are the different kinds of artists. Like,
it was optimistic, and now that we're kind of dissecting these, I do see the plot development of the show a lot more now that we're all picking out, like, our favorite plots, like, plot-changing moments. But I think even, like, Earn starting to actually get people's business cards was at least made me feel a little bit more optimistic about him and, like, better in a way that it was like, okay, this guy actually has a chance. And then, like, I think it ends with, like, seeing that Paperboy also has a chance. Mm-hmm. He just has to, like, do his thing. He's like, as, like, Earn says, like, you have no sex appeal. He's like, you have too many skits in your mixtape. <I'm> like,
that's also so funny because it's like, you probably do,
you
man.
Probably
like,
one is too many.
Yeah.
So.
Still waiting to hear that whole mixtape, though.
One is too many.
Yeah. I think the difference, like, plot-wise at least, is, like, you see in the Justin Bieber episode, like, Earn get the business cards and then have no idea if he ever followed up on getting those business cards. You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's always, it's like isolated plot points and then everything else, like, falls into the cracks.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's true. And the show always kind of, like, gives you little things. Like, they give you little payoffs, but they never actually, like, tell you whether things worked out. Like, that happens several times throughout the course of the series.
So I think for, like, that reason, it's really going to be difficult to tell, like, where season two is going to pick up. Like, is it going to be, like, right at the end of season one? Or, like, is Paperboy going to be, like, super famous now? Like, you have no idea.
Yeah. But I feel like I would hope that they would, like, follow up on some things. Because I do like the very, like, almost aimless quality to the show, but I would like to get some sort of, like, payoff to something, you know? I feel like in the future, like, especially, I feel like that's coming, I hope that's coming in season two.
And
not, like, to say, like, it should change completely and not be as aimless, but, like, connect some things a little more.
My fear with season two, I think it's titular city is kind of what the show depends on in a lot of ways, and I think that like, the progress that we would like to see would require a separation from Atlanta in that.
I think it could definitely... Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I think it could definitely go to different parts of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's true. I think my concerns were, like...
Like, if they're going on tour, they're going to lose their connection to
the
city that keeps the show grounded.
If I see, like, a show in my head, I see them, like, busting out of, like, a sweaty kind of, like tour venue that they're not making that much money, but then they're still, then after that they're left in new cities and new places, and if it's not Atlanta, it's kind of hard, because I think they're painting what life is like in their community as opposed to for these characters, so it's kind of hard to sustain that if they ever want to develop as, like, actual characters as opposed to the show itself.
I think even though, like, with the way the show is structured, like, they could have Paperboy go on tour and then not show that in the show.
Yeah.
So they're just in Atlanta and, like, they've now gone on tour and Paperboy's more famous and they have more money or something like that, and it's still in Atlanta, and they can sort of show, like you were saying, like, a different side of Atlanta.
And just a final note on the Nobody Beats the Biebs episode. I think it's the best episode of the series, or the season so far. The series, because it has that banging Childish Gambino track at the end that I just absolutely love, because it's just like bubblegum pop at its best.
Great.
It's so good. It's just, love it.
He has a great cover of So Into You on, like, this Australian radio station.
Oh, yeah.
I'd recommend to all of you, because he just, like, kind of loves Diana Ross in, like, a hilarious way.
Great.
That's not a Diana Ross song, but... Just putting that in there for all the fans. All
right. Well, final question. You can answer in under 5 words. Actually, you can answer in 1 word. Is this the best show of this year, Michael?
Like, new show?
I was gonna say, is this the best show that you've watched this year?
It is the best show
I've watched this year.
I will say yes. I'm saying
yeah.
I'm
you have 1 word.
Yes.
No,
yeah.
I have a qualifier.
What?
Okay. Well, yes, but also Insecure is great, and it's also kind of a similar thing. It's great for similar reasons because it's like a black voice.
Oh yeah. We should all totally watch that show.
Yeah, Insecure is great.
John,
that I've watched. Yes.
Great.
Also looking forward to the new season of Girls, but just saying.
Girls is good, but different. No, Girls is good.
Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's also bad. We'll talk about it later.
That'll do it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untitled Leisure Project. If you liked us, subscribe to the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast delivery
app.
But not Google Play? We're not on Google Play?
Not on Google
Play.
What?
Damn.
John
Block Podcast
Editor. Once you do that, you'll have immediate access to new episodes of the Untitled Leisure Project, as well as the other excellent podcasts we produce at The Voice.
Like the
250 Taste Test, the Sports Sermon. Eventually, maybe we'll have a Mystery
Coming
Mystery
soon
Pod
to a podcast
near
you.
You can find way more content from all of us and everyone on The Voice in our print magazine, which you can pick up on stands around campus and on our beautiful website, www.georgetownvoice.com. Now, you can follow us on Twitter at GTownVoice and at HalftimeGU for frequent updates about campus happenings and culture. And if you happened to like any of us in particular, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at DRVARG01. You can follow Mike at MBurgan95. You can follow Danielle at DNHHewitt.
DN Hewitt.
@John_Block_ remember no H in the John.
Great. In the meantime, send us your thoughts about the show and ideas for next ones. So the theme music for the Untitled Leisure Project is by Ben Sound. You can find it and other royalty-free music at www.bensound.com. John, did I forget anything?
Nope.
Great. That's it. We'll be back next week. If you haven't watched Atlanta, we'll be back next week. If you haven't watched Atlanta, go watch it. And thank you for listening to this anyway. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.